Thank you for coming today, and I'm going to talk about camelina agronomy research on the northern Great Plains of Canada. And camelina has been called several names: false flax, linseed daughter. I think the Romans called it gold of pleasure. It's thought to be more drought resistant than Brassica napus. Cultivation is origin Southeast Europe, and it's been grown in small scale up to the 20th century in Europe. For human consumption, alpha-linolenic acid, omega-3, is of interest. As well, it has a higher level of vitamin E, which is an antioxidant, which increases the stability of the oil compared to something like flaxseed, which makes it of interest for human consumption. And in Canada, we actually have a small group who are cold-pressing camelina oil and selling it. There's the website if you're interested. For industrial uses, people are thinking of aiming for aviation biofuel and biodiesel, and they're also interested in using it as a platform for genetic modifications. Might be a bit of a conflict with human consumption, but we'll see how that all works out. I'll talk about four studies today: a plant density study and nitrogen response trial. These were led by my colleague Eric Johnson, and a seeding date trial and a seeding depth trial, which are underway now that I'm leading. So when we look at the effect of seeding rates, we can see that once we get above 500 seeds per meter squared, the yield response curve flattens out. And if we get down below 200 seeds per meter squared, our yields start to decline fairly rapidly. So we have a yield plateau. Now, when we look at actually emerged plants from that seeding rate, we see that we would like to achieve 125. It's plateaued after that, up to 200 and so on. And once we get down here around 70, the yield starts to decline pretty rapidly. And this was all spring planted. So when we look at that, we had 9 site years of data. Only one site year was at 12%. Several site years were at 25, and so emergence ranged from 12 to 67%. And as our agronomic package improves, we can probably improve on that, especially at the bottom end. But if we have 500 seeds per meter squared, then 42% emergence is 210 plants. 25% emergence, which we quite often got in our trials, was 125 plants. And then if we were down at the 12%, we really wouldn't have enough plants. But I hope we can put our agronomic package together to avoid that problem. And it was only at one location out of the 9. So 500 seeds per meter squared roughly reacts for 6 kilograms per hectare or 5 pounds per acre. And the results are consistent from studies around the world. Excuse me. For the nitrogen response trial, it was conducted on cereal stubble. The rates in the first year were 40 kilogram increments from 0 to 160. And in the next 2 years, they went 25 kilogram increments from 0 up to 150. And then we jumped to 200 kilograms per hectare. And we have 9 site years of data for that as well. And this, again, was all spring seeded. So there's our response curve that we obtained from the camelina. Probably the max is around 170. But a grower probably is in this 100 to 125 after he has gained experience with camelina. And this isn't directly applicable, but this is another study I did. This is a canola response curve to nitrogen and flax. And I should have picked out another canola study that was more responsive, but basically this is to show you that camelina tends to be as responsive to nitrogen if it has the water as canola does. And this was two very differing sites, site years. These are both at Indian Head. But here's our average of the 9 site years. This was Indian Head in 2009. And you can see that the seed yield is keep going up. And at 200 kilograms per hectare, we haven't topped out yet on our seed yield. And we had excellent growing conditions, cool temperatures during the summer, lots of moisture. So you're not going to get much better conditions than that. This is this last year. We had excess moisture, prior to bolting and during bolting, and the excess moisture actually stressed the camelina quite a bit. Camelina doesn't tolerate excess moisture, especially on our heavy clay soils as well as other crops. It's a little worse than canola. And the excess moisture led to a weed infestation that we wouldn't have had. So at this site here, we had excess moisture stress and weed stress. And even with that, you see we still have a nitrogen response. If we go on a percent of the zero nitrogen rate, you can see that they're fairly comparable, not exactly the same, of course, in the percent increase from the nitrogen rate. So my point here is that with camelina, even if you're in a stress environment with lower maybe moisture, lower yield potential, you still need a nitrogen to stabilize your yield variability and to ensure your yield stability, because it will respond to nitrogen and it needs that nitrogen to ward off stress. And I should also say that in our soil profile, we're probably talking usually 20 kilograms per hectare of residual N. This is just a picture of the 0 kilograms per hectare. There's 25. There's 75, at which I think beginning growers probably should be at until they have the full agronomic package under their belt. There's 125, where I think the more experienced growers will be. There's 200. And in the background here, you can see what the zero rate looks like. So the people who say you don't need to use nitrogen with camelina, well, I disagree. The next study is a seeding date trial where we're looking at fall seeding dates as well as spring seeding dates. The reason I want to look at fall seeding dates is I have enough moisture in my area that canola is well adapted. And so to bring camelina into my area, you have to have a hook or a slightly different way for growers to value for growers. So if we can seed camelina in the fall, they may be able to grow more acres with the same equipment because they'd be seeding at a different time and harvesting earlier. So in this year, we seeded October 2nd, 8th, 15th, and 22nd, 29th, and then 3 dates in the spring. You can see with the seeding rates that we had trouble getting that 80 plants per square meter. And although it didn't translate directly into yield, in that year, the springs did do better than the falls. These April 9th and May 6th are significantly higher. And I have the seed density down here because that's so important to explain the data. This is why those falls didn't survive very well. We're on a heavy clay, the worst situation for camelina. And this had moisture, water sitting on the soil surface in the spring from the snowmelt. And when you get water on the surface with camelina, you have dead camelina. So it does not tolerate flooding in the spring if it's emerging. Oh, and I should have said the first two seeding dates did emerge in the fall. We seeded in 2009-2010. These dates, all the way from October 14th to November 9th, except for the November 2nd, we did get the plant densities, minimum plant densities we needed. The November 9th was the highest seed yield. The 14th emerged. None of the other dates did, but they all germinated. In Swift Current, they didn't. In the same year, they didn't get their stand density survival through the winter, and their April 6th was the highest yielding date. This is seeding camelina in the fall in Saskatchewan sometimes, if you're doing a seeding date experiment. The snow melted, and we did do some dates without any snow, and that seed did germinate. This is camelina seed. This is the camelina seed germinating. This is ice crystals. The ice crystals were probably about an inch farther into the soil profile, but I brought them together. I apologize that the seed, it's not actually bad. It looks a lot better up there than it does on my computer screen. So the camelina seed will germinate unless it's dry. So if someone says they're dormant seeding camelina in the fall, the soil actually has to be frozen or has to be dry. We seeded some this fall and it didn't germinate till we got rain. But if it's wet, it germinates. There's the camelina coming up. one leaf cotyledons. And we're having trouble with our October seeding dates to getting to a rosette. We'd like to get to a small rosette so we could see what the comparison for the winter survival, but we've had two late harvests in a row, and so we really want to be seeding after the land's been combined, because that's where it will fit in best with farmers' operations. So hopefully next year we'll get a more normal growing season, and we'll be able to seed in September as well, just to see how that works out. We have a seeding date experiment. We wanted to see if the effective seeding date 0.6, 1.2, and 2.5 centimeters, or a quarter surface, quarter, half, and an inch, and to see whether it differs in between the fall and the spring when you have to go through survival. We just have one site year of data so far, but you can see we got enough survival, certainly a lot less than we did with the spring. Seeding depth, we're only with one site year, we're not sure yet, but it doesn't appear that it's really bad. So that means if your guys accidentally seed it 1 inch instead of half an inch, they're okay. And you can see that we can be successfully put camelina. What we did was we seeded the fertilizer into the ground and dropped the camelina on the surface and then packed it. So camelina does very well that way, and in some of the muddier conditions in the fall, that may be something that will have to be explored. So our conclusions are that for plant density, it's nice to have 125 to 200 plants. Once you get below 70, 75, it starts to go down pretty fast. Nitrogen, camelina is responsive to nitrogen. 75 kilograms per hectare is appropriate for first-time growers of camelina in Western Canada, unless they're in the much drier areas, then they may want to use a little bit less. We don't have a site down in the driest areas, unfortunately. And 100 to 125 in high yielding environments. And then for seeding date trial, we have much more to learn for to maintain plant density when fall seeded is important. So we may need to do some cultivar selection for that. Right now, probably the spring seeding, earliest spring you can get, is probably still the best. And for the seeding depth trial, very preliminary, but if your grower does seed it at 1 inch, don't panic, let it come up. And it doesn't appear to be different between the spring and the fall. We have time for any questions? Great. Yes?
So that was germinated or emerged, did you lose any of that over winter?
Well, you can see from our plant densities that we didn't get the stand from a fall seeding that we would have get in a spring seeding. But I haven't had time yet to, because we've been operating on a shoestring, haven't had time to. I was hoping to do that this fall. We got a big snowstorm, to go out and count plants in the fall and see what our winter kill is. But if we don't get flooding, then we appear to be able to obtain a reasonable stand if we do a good seeding job. And that also means that you need a more of a U-shaped V for seeding in the fall instead of a V-shaped, because if you have a V-shape, you're going to get more infilling from the soil into the seed row, and that's going to probably reduce your consistency of plant stand.